the Painless Living Show with host and pain treatment expert, Dr. Michael Cassero, and co-host, John Ashton. If you or someone you love suffers from chronic pain, get answers here. Call now, 888-440-4442. That's 888-440-4442. Or visit online, painlesslivingshow.com.
Love it when meteorologists come on and say, let me tell you when the cold weather's coming back. I don't want to know. Good morning. It is absolutely gorgeous. Let's keep it this way.
I second the motion.
There you go. Fantastic. Welcome in, Painless Living Show, for another week. Dr. Michael Cassaro, I'm John Ashton. Taking your calls for any kind of a pain situation you may be suffering with at the moment at 888-440-4442. Doctor's topic this morning, arthritis. But again, any pain situation you're dealing with goes to the front of the line at 888-440-4442. Quick question for you, sir.
Shoot.
Is arthritis an inevitable result of aging?
To some extent, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, let's put it this way. Don't know of anybody that has aged even gracefully that doesn't have some degree of arthritis. But whether it's painful and interferes with activity, that's a whole different question. A lot of people all the way into their 80s or 90s without any significant infirmity from joint pain.
So it is possible to have arthritis and not know it. Because I would imagine unless it reared its painful head, you would not be aware.
That's a good way to put it. They can have arthritis and not know it because for most people, the only way you know you have arthritis is that joint hurts.
And if it doesn't hurt, you really don't care if you have it.
That's right.
Although if you do have it and it hasn't yet gotten to the point where it hurts, are there steps you can take to extend the pain-free time of the arthritis or ways to reverse it or anything like that?
Well, I wouldn't say steps you could take, but let's say there are formulas that you could follow that have demonstrated over the years that you're less likely to have painful arthritis. I just thought of another way that you could have arthritis with it not hurt, but you would know it. People that have arthritis in their hands, you see their knuckles start to get big, but they might not hurt.
Gotcha, okay.
So I guess that's one way to have arthritis, not be impaired by it at all, but know you've got it.
Right. Do you have to have suffered or at least experienced some sort of a injury or a trauma of some sort for arthritis to come?
For the most part, yes, because what the arthritis is it's actually the joint healing.
Okay.
It's the result of the healing that causes the arthritis. So for people that, for instance, when we're talking about the hands, you use your hands for everything, all your whole life, especially if you're using any kind of vibrating tools or impact tools, chances are you're going to develop arthritis from the little accumulation of the micro injuries over the years. So there doesn't have to be one discrete injury, one trauma that causes the arthritis. It can be an accumulation.
Yeah, and it can be, like you say, micro. It can be to the point where you didn't even notice it when it happened.
Exactly.
And they just build up over time. And I don't think any of us, well, those of us who don't do anything physically to get an injury, even one that we wouldn't notice, don't live long enough to have the arthritis problem.
Because that's true, yeah.
Thank you. I just made that up.
Well, that's a pretty good observation. Yeah, doing physical things tends to be a little bit of a protection.
Yeah, I got that. Can you have arthritis simply because your parents had it? Is it something that can be passed down through generations, or is it, again, something that you have to cause yourself, whether by just getting older or having some sort of an injury beforehand or whatever?
Well, there are some inherited traits that can make it more likely. But for the most part, the reason people in the same family tend to get similar arthritis is because people in the same family tended to be in that same car that rolled over.
Yeah, or at least have the same lifestyle.
Right, or they all rented the 4x4s and went off-roading the same vacation trip.
Yeah. So something is, I don't want to say as trivial, but something like being bounced violently in the backseat of a pickup truck on a dirt road might eventually lead to some arthritic situation.
See, you and I can talk about that stuff because that used to be common. Yeah. Nowadays,
you get arrested.
Yeah, you know, just can't do that anymore.
But that is, I mean, the stuff that happened to you as a child can manifest itself as arthritis in adults.
Even as a child, if you weren't significantly injured at the time, I mean, it wasn't anything that slowed you down. You jumped out of the back of that pickup truck and went and played with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But 30, 40 years later, yeah, that could be what started the bone spurs that now mm-hmm. have your joints hitting like the doorstop where it just won't straighten out any further.
Yep.
And hurting.
And one of the fun exercises you can do is I've got a problem with one of my knees. And, you know, after long conversations with you about this stuff, I sat back and said, okay, well, what could it have been? And, I mean, I probably had a list of about 43 things that happened to me in my, you know, young adult years in my childhood.
You can't beat yourself up.
That's right.
It was probably a combination of all of those.
Exactly. I mean, it's like it could have been that time that, no, not that time, but, you know, that's the way it goes.
So then your next step in that process has to be, yeah, that was worth it.
It was. Yeah, you know, even knowing now, knowing then what I know now, is that the right way to put it? I'd still do it.
There you go.
I would still do it. So.
So it's reminders of youth.
Yeah.
And it's up to you whether you have good memories or bad.
Exactly. Probably the important question that we got to get out of the way right off the bat, is there anything you can take to make it go away?
No.
Okay.
That's real easy.
Yeah.
Didn't have to think much about that one.
Yeah. Yeah, just want to make sure everyone understands that. So we're gonna spend the next hour learning to live with it and to mitigate it, right?
Well, the reason is that the arthritis is the result of the healing.
Mm.
So whatever injury or little micro injury, whatever it was, when it healed, that was the formation of the arthritis. So it's not a blight on your body. It's not something foreign. It's not this thing that you can take a magical potion to get rid of because it is the result of your body doing what it's supposed to do after an injury.
Mm-hmm. So did you call it a design flaw then, maybe?
No,
Well,
the reason I'm going to stop short of that is because people that tend to have better overall health mm-hmm. at the time that they get injured have a lot less chance of developing
gotcha.
Problems down the line because of aggressive formation of arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, people that tend to be in poor condition at the time they get injured, they're a lot more likely to have an over-aggressive healing process that forms more aggressive arthritis.
Gotcha.
And this is one of the main reasons that you see old men that have been doing labor their whole lives, they're in their 60s or 70s, they're still able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you got young people that have been sitting at a desk their whole career in their 40s and 50s, and they're almost crippled by their
hurting
pain.
Are there any other things other than age and injury? I mean, can if you got real sick as a kid or real sick as an adult, are there any illnesses that can cause arthritis down the road or anything internally that can do it?
Probably the worst thing would be is if you got an open wound into a joint and it got infected.
Ah, okay.
Because the scar tissue that forms after infection and the results of the infection on the surface of the cartilage
mm-hmm.
tend to be particularly damaging
gotcha.
For the future. But there are other things, too. Anything that promotes a prolonged inflammatory process in the body.
Mm-hmm. Putting the wrong food in your face?
Well, that now we're talking about probably the thing that affects most people. If you eat things that keep your body inflamed,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to form bone spurs very aggressively and arthritis very aggressively.
And stuff you put in the food category can do that too. We will explain a lot further. Take your questions and comments and anything else you have too at 888-440-4442. The topic, arthritis. So get your question together and come on back.
To learn more about the topics or products mentioned on the program, visit our website, painlessliving.com.
If you have a question about arthritis, 888-440-4442, that being the topic on this side of the radio. But any question about any pain situation, give us a call, 888-440-4442. Or if you prefer not to share your situation with the world, really easy technique, you can go to painlesslivingshow.com and just click on the contact button and send an email directly to Dr. Cassaro. And without mentioning any names, he'll talk about you on the radio, plus give you a personal response. So here we go, right to an email question, without mentioning any names.
Okay.
It says, Doctor, I fell 2 months ago. My grandchildren took me roller skating.
I think that was a hit.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Nothing was broken. I didn't even think I was hurt, but the next day my hip was killing me. I toughed it out for about a week, then surrendered to the pain and went to the doctor. He sent me to an orthopedic doctor. He took x-rays, told me I had bad arthritis in my hip. He said it was bone on bone. He also told me that my fall did not cause the arthritis. It had been developing for many years. So, why didn't my hip hurt before the fall? I had been very active. I felt good enough to roller skate, and there was never a pain until the fall. So, the questions. Is there any way to fix whatever happened in the fall? I don't want to do hip replacement surgery. I don't think I need my hip replaced if I can just undo the fall. So, you're going to lend the time machine out to this person, or what are you going to do?
Well, we could probably come up with a rental agreement. I don't just rent that thing out. But no, it's this is what we call in the business, you know, that every industry has its own jargon.
Mm-hmm.
That's the straw that broke the camel's back.
Very, very clever.
Yeah. I don't have a good explanation for why he didn't have any trouble before the fall, but I can come up with some theories about why it started hurting right then. You know, if you think about this arthritis as this rough surface with a lot of barnacles growing on what used to be cartilage, and there's really not much of a slick surface there, and then you have a impact, and it doesn't have to be a big impact, just like he said, falling because his grandchildren were trying to kill him. Is that what he said?
He was close. Took him roller skating. My question is, what were you thinking?
I think he needs his head examined also. The hip, he's got that exam. He's got another exam to go. But one of those little barnacles could have been broken off. Mm-hmm. Okay, now that could be just a little thing, too small to show up on an x-ray. If he had a CT scan, that might be a little bit better at picking it up, but it wouldn't change anything. Okay. So there's really no reason to do that. But now he's got that little sharp piece of gravel moving around inside that hip. Every time he goes to stand on it, it feels like he's got a knife in his hip.
Right.
Whenever he walks, you know, all that pain. And that could be why it started right then with the fall. He's not going to make that arthritis go away. There may be ways to decrease the pain without hip replacement surgery. But before I talk about those alternatives, what I will say is that among all the things that can be replaced in the body, the thing that has one of the longest and best track records is hip replacement surgery. People tend to do pretty well after that, and they don't have pain, and that's the big thing.
Yeah. Is there any chance that this little piece that might have broken off ever goes somewhere where it doesn't hurt?
Yes.
Okay.
That is a chance. And one of the ways that might be able to give an opportunity for that to happen is to try a cortisone injection in that hip. Now, this is a double-edged sword because the cortisone will not only make the hip feel good where he can walk on it again for a couple of months anyway, but it'll probably also accelerate the degeneration of the rest of the cartilage that's still there. So it may increase the likelihood in the future that he needs to have hip replacement surgery, but apparently they're already talking to him about that now.
Yeah.
But if it gets him up where he can start doing the same things that he was doing 3 months ago without any pain, then that might help move this little barnacle, if that's what it is, into a place where it's not hurting anymore, where it kind of scars down, heals in place.
Mm-hmm.
Another possibility, and this is something that I do frequently for people that need hip replacement surgery, but because of other health reasons, they're not candidates for it,
mm-hmm.
is to do what's called radiofrequency neurolysis. Now, we usually talk about that in treating spine pain, but you can do that in the hip also. There are two little nerves that go to the hip joint that give feeling to that joint.
Mm-hmm.
And if you burn those two little nerves, you don't feel your hip joint anymore. The arthritis will still be there.
Mm-hmm.
That little floating body might still be there, but it won't hurt. And he could walk around on it. The trouble is that if that nerve recovers, if it's a good solid third-degree burn, it's permanent. But if, let's say, it's a second-degree burn, that nerve could recover in about a year,
mm-hmm.
and the pain might be right back. On the other hand, it might recover in a year, and the pain doesn't come back because it has right. moved to a new place and healed in place. So those are possibilities. But, you know, all things taken into account, if you were to line up the average Joe, you know, all the people with hip problems,
mm-hmm.
most people would opt for the hip replacement surgery.
Right.
And
right.
I guess that's an individual decision. The risks on that surgery are fairly low. They're not zero,
mm-hmm.
but neither are the risks on the cortisone injection or the radiofrequency neurolysis.
Mm. Always something to think about. Can that technique, the radiofrequency, et cetera,
yeah.
Can that be done on other major joints that may have hurt? Like if you've got a bad elbow or shoulder or something like that, you can do that?
Elbow, it doesn't work real well, and
okay.
it's just because there's less predictability about where to find the nerve branches that go into that
gotcha.
Joint, and not only is it less predictable where to find them, but there's more branches.
Yeah.
Yeah. The hip is easy. The knee is pretty easy if the pain is in the front of the knee. If the pain is in the back of the knee,
mm-hmm.
yeah, not so much.
Yeah. And the last thing you want to hear out of your doctor's mouth is, oops.
Yeah, that's actually, that's a big part of doctor's training, is how to eliminate that word from your vocabulary. And there's another word, too, that goes along with that.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
His doctor told him that the x-ray showed it was bone on bone. What's the alternative to that? What's it supposed to be?
Well, there should be a nice space in there where there used to be cartilage that held the bones apart. The cartilage doesn't show up on an x-ray. The x-ray beam shines right through it. So what you see is a gap
mm-hmm.
between the bones.
I gotcha.
When the cartilage gets worn down, eroded down to nothing,
mm-hmm.
then the two bones appear to be touching each other, and that's what the
gotcha.
Radiologist and the orthopedic surgeon refer to as bone on bone.
Fantastic. All right.
No, it's not fantastic.
It's fantastic to have that information at your fingertips. So basically, there really isn't a way to fix it. You can maybe power through it. The whatever, where you sit there and wait to fix whatever happened in the fall.
Well, when you say power through it, it's a little tougher than that. But the point is that he had that same arthritis there 3 months ago.
Right.
And it wasn't causing any trouble.
Yeah.
As he pointed out, he felt good enough to go roller skating.
Yeah.
So you can have a lot of arthritis and it not cause pain. The trick is figuring out what to do to get it back to not being painful when you really don't know why it's hurting now.
Yeah, that's very difficult when you've had a situation or you've had a condition that hasn't manifested itself in any way, and then suddenly it hurts. Again, you have to go through this whole long litany of what happened, why did I do that, and what could have been the results thereof. But
you know, there is another possibility here. 2 months, there's a possibility that he's got a fracture,
mm-hmm.
Just a crack, like what's commonly referred to as a hairline fracture.
Mm-hmm.
That's possible.
Would that not have shown up in the x-ray?
An x-ray is very likely to miss that.
Okay.
A CT scan would be a lot more likely to pick that up. That might be one reason to get a CT scan.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, even if you see that, there's not a whole lot you can do except just to wait for it to heal. But at least that knowledge of knowing that that's what it was mm-hmm. might help with his decision about whether or not he's going to have the hip replacement surgery.
How can, maybe this is an aside, a digression, but I'll ask it anyway. How can a hairline fracture in a joint that you use as often as you use your hip actually heal? Don't you have to immobilize it before it can heal?
Well, it's not displaced where you have ends that have to be immobilized.
Okay.
It's not moving. It's just that you've got this big inflammatory response around it.
Okay. That makes perfect sense to me, he said, hopefully convincingly. 888-440-4442. That is the phone number. Arthritis is the topic. You've got a question? Do not hesitate. Give the doctor a call. It's 888-440-4442. Be right back.
It's the Painless Living Show. To be part of the program, call now. 1-888-440-4442.
Did you get that? 888-440-4442. Or again, painlessliving.com. Click on the contact button and you can send a question via email directly to Dr. Cassaro. Topic is arthritis. And I think we have a phone caller on the line. Has it been cleared
yes.
yet? Okay.
Marcia has cleared the caller.
Go right to the phones.
Okay, this is Norman calling. Norman, you're on the Painless Living Show this morning. How can I help you? Hello, Norman.
Listen, this is going back about 3 weeks. You mentioned MSM for a soak like Epsom salts. And
oh, yes. Okay.
I went to Tractor Supply and bought a 2-pound jar of it. But the directions on it are... Because it's a veterinary thing, basically, is only for horses, and it's for an oral direction, is to take a half an ounce orally for the horse. But this is nothing what we're trying to do. It's to use it in a soak. And I know with Epsom salts, you use a cup to a tub of water. But I didn't get what you said about how much to use. And
use maybe a quarter cup to a half cup in a standard okay. bathtub.
Okay,
yeah.
Half a cup.
And that's... real good. I don't remember exactly what it was we were talking about 3 weeks ago, but that's a real good way to help with removing some of the things from your body that can cause muscle aches and soreness and things like that. And it's the more of your body that you get down in the water, the more of the MSM is going to go from the water through your skin into your body.
Good. I thought perhaps that today's topic on the arthritis, it might be useful to soothe some nerves there.
Oh, yes. In fact, MSM works very well for arthritis. In fact, we have some information on our website at painlesslivingshow.com about how to make your own MSM lotion, just mixing the MSM crystals like what you bought
yeah.
with plain hand lotion and mix that into a topical cream that you can put on your joints yourself, and it costs a fraction of what a similar product would cost that you would buy already made up. And you can use that on aching joints, aching muscles, ligaments, tendons, anything. Very low risk. I mean, the worst risk you have using anything like that is that if you use a lot of it, it has an odor, a sulfur type odor. But other than that, you're not, no toxic risk, and it's not going to interfere with any medicines you might be taking otherwise.
Well, I guess on the label, they're expecting not to put a horse in a bathtub, so they
right.
recommend, I think it was a half an ounce orally. But for people, you don't generally take it orally, do you?
Well, yes, you can go to the health food store and you can buy MSM in capsules to take orally as a nutritional supplement. And the dose is a little bit different. You might be talking, okay, if a teaspoon is 5 grams, the dose for a human might be, say, 500 milligrams, which would be 1/10. So that would be an oral dose.
Well, I was just thinking of it as a soak. And should you combine that with the Epsom salts?
Yes, you can do that. Just take, like you said, a cup full of Epsom salts and then maybe a quarter cup of MSM in the same bath water and just sit in there and marinate until the water starts to cool off.
Okay, so I have a quarter to a half a cup of MSM plus a cup of Epsom salts and just stay there until the water goes from hot to cold.
Well, I wouldn't wait till it gets all the way cold, but when it's no longer comfortable, that's when it's time to get out.
And should that be nightly or just one couple times?
Well, it depends on what you're doing it for. Certainly, there would be no problem with doing it nightly. Okay. The Epsom salts can help a lot with getting to sleep if you do that nightly.
Well, that would help, too. Yeah, sore muscles and getting to sleep.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Doctor.
Well, thank you, Norman, for listening, and thank you for calling.
Thanks, Norman. 888-440-4442. So, have another?
Yes, we do have another caller. We've got Danny calling from Louisville, Kentucky. Danny, you're on the line at the Painless Living Show. How can I help you this morning?
Dr. Scarrow, you give me that MSM remedy. You were talking about the horse feed and all that.
Yes.
But I'm the recipient. I got three artificial joints, and I'm still very active.
Good.
But I got into an MSM with a marine collagen. I mixed it with three. Andrew Lesman sells it, and it has really worked on, you know, taking the inflammation out of my body.
It does. It works very well.
Your individual asked about the hip replacement. Believe me, you'll know when it's time to go. You know, my leg was had been shorter than my left, you know, from riding it all those years. And, you know, it ruined my back. And after I had my hip replaced, you know, my back regenerated. I didn't know that was even possible.
Well, you know, you bring up one of the big problems of trying to tough it out when you have a
I believe a little bit of pain
problem.
A little bit of pain is good for you. And I've stayed active. You know, I took a real beating. You know, I 4 years high school sports, 4 years military, and 30 years at Ford. So you know what my body's took. But the MSM, you know, I have a lot of inflammation. And I told you that. And, you know, you give me the advice of the MSM. And I started using it. It's called a marine collagen with MSM. And it really works. You know, I'm extremely active still. You know, gravity kind of overtakes me some here anymore. But, you know, I keep trudging it out. But I'd tell anyone to try that MSM with the marine collagen. It's a mix of 3 teaspoons in a glass of water. It's even tasteless, and it works great. And I want to thank you for the advice.
Well, thank you for sharing that with the audience. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling.
You know, like I say, it's not my joints anymore. It's the inflammation that's around it, and I don't like the inflammation medicine whatsoever. And if you need replacement, anybody think about replacement, don't worry about it. Your body will tell you when it's time to go. All right. Thank you, Dr.
I think you're right. Thank you.
888-440-4442. That's good news. It's that MSM. I remember that from a few weeks ago. Are there anything else that anything else that you can take to fight inflammation in your body naturally?
Well, there are a lot of nutritional supplements that can help with inflammation, but one of the best anti-inflammatories that you can take is fish oil.
Really?
On a regular basis. In fact, one way to think of it is just oil those arthritic joints with the fish oil, and it makes them feel better. Now, what a lot of people expect is that, okay, I'll take the fish oil now and the pain will go away. It's not quite that quick, but over time, it really works well. And there are a lot of other nutritional supplements, too. And we're not just talking about vitamins and mineral or vitamins. We're also talking about things like minerals.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times a mineral shortage, especially the magnesium, that's why we're talking about soaking in Epsom salts. Magnesium shortage tends to magnify the effect of pain.
Right. Okay. There are some people who may have this question going through their head of what you just said and may say, no, I can't ask that because it sounds like a stupid question. So I'll do it. Because I have no qualms about asking stupid questions.
Okay.
Wouldn't be my first, nor my last. But the illusion you just brought up about replacing, they're doing an oil change, Can you replace joint fluid?
No.
Okay.
No, because it's a constant turnover in the body.
Never mind.
But we're going to go back to the phones here. We've got Joanne calling from Louisville, Kentucky. Joanne, you're on the air at the Painless Living Show. How can I help you this morning?
Hi, Dr. Caceres. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Well, so am I pretty much, but listen, I'm 77 going on 78, very healthy, take no prescriptions, have been a nutritionist on and off half my life, and the only problem I'm having is I have this thing when I wake up in the morning sometimes where my fingers are all bent on my right hand, not my left hand, and then I get that swelling in the little finger, and then I see the middle finger's a little bit swollen, and then the index finger wants to bend a lot, so I don't know what I must be missing something nutritionally. I eat organic, very healthy. Then the Dr. Bertella over in Indiana says I have the health of a 50-year-old, but butchered with a 39-year-old, and the brain of a 20-year-old. So I just, other than that one little thing, I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what is I'm lacking, because I know food is so important. I eat only organic food, you know, I don't stray off that path because I know about GMOs and I know how dangerous they are. And I don't want all that spray. I'm not interested in putting Agent Orange in my body. So I thought you might have a few tips, things I haven't thought of, you know. So anyway.
Well, let me ask you, in addition to the swelling, do you get any numbness or tingling?
No. It's just that it started out with my little finger.
Just the swelling and the fingers...
It's the first joint in the little finger.
Okay, and is it like it's trying to grip something when you say
no,
it's...
No, it's just swollen, that in the
just
middle,
swollen.
You know, between
okay.
the two joints. It's like a little poofy thing. Poofy in the middle. And there's no pain, except, you know, when I wake up in the morning and my hand is all bent. I hate that on my right hand. So I go in and I soak it in warm water and push down, and it'll straighten out my fingers and, you know...
That's one of the best things to do, probably. You know, it may not be a nutritional problem. What you could have, especially if this is happening in your sleep, it could be that something you're doing in your sleep, some position that you're in during sleep, is either irritating a nerve or one of the muscles that control the your fingers. So that when you wake up, that irritation has got the swelling and the them bent. That music in the background means we're getting ready to go to a break. So I'm going to ask you to hold on through the break, and we'll talk about this some more when we come back.
Room for you, too. 888-440-4442. Be right back.
It's like an office visit without the copay. The Painless Living Show.
We have some room yet on the phones at 888-440-4442 and some time yet together this morning, but we're going to go back to the phones right now.
Yes, Joanne, are you still with me?
I absolutely am.
Okay. Right before the break, what I was talking about was that that swelling that you're getting in your finger and the bending that you have in the morning could be coming from something about the position you sleep in during the night. And the most
well, I don't sleep on my stomach.
Okay.
And I don't sleep on my neck. I sleep, usually it's on either the right or the left side, you know.
Okay, the place where that irritation is most likely to be happening is at your elbow on that same arm. Because the nerve that goes down to your little finger is the nerve that hooks under the kind of the notch at the back of your elbow on the inside of the elbow. When people say they hit their funny bone, that's the place they're talking about.
Okay.
And a lot of times when people sleep, they'll have one arm, they'll have their arm bent and up against their body, and it's sleeping with your arm in that bent position for a long period of time with the nerve stretched across the back of your elbow that can cause some of that irritation. It doesn't have to be enough to cause pain, but what it can do is cause your finger to bend and swell like that. And if that's the case...
Yeah, I wake up sometimes all my fingers are bent on that hand, and the index finger is like, it's like it's not straight like it should be. I mean, it'll straighten out after a while, but, you know, I can see. I don't want to get a bone spur in there.
Well, what you're doing when you wake up, you said you're soaking it in warm water and massaging it and straightening out all the fingers. That's
right.
probably the best thing to do in the morning. And then during the day, just routine, whatever your routine activity is, you want to make sure that you're using your hands and that you're active so that they tend to have their own way of squeezing the swelling fluid out with use and activity.
It would be like I have this little rubber ball and like squeezing that, huh?
Exactly.
That would
be a real good thing to do.
Yeah, I'd use that.
Yeah, and that's not due to something that you're not getting in your diet. That's just due to the effects of, nerves and muscles. They're made to move. And when you're asleep, you're not moving. And you're probably getting the same thing that would happen if you sat at a desk all day and didn't move.
Kind of like carpal tunnel?
Well, carpal tunnel syndrome, it doesn't sound like that's what you've got because you said that it started with your pinky finger.
Right, and the pinky finger, and then the index finger.
And see, neither one of those, well, the index finger can go through the carpal tunnel, but that pinky finger does not. So my guess is that it's higher up in your arm. That's why I mentioned your elbow. It could be a contribution at your wrist, a contribution at your elbow, maybe more contribution at your shoulder. It's hard to know exactly what it is, but it's probably a bunch of things adding together. And because it always happens in the morning, when it's the worst, I think that it's got to do with some posture during sleep. Now, if you suspect carpal tunnel, there are some wrist splints that you can buy at the drugstore. And if you sleep with one of those on...
I don't use the computer, so I don't think that's going to be an issue.
Yeah.
It's just inflammation. And I know inflammation is not good in any part of your body. It cuts your years off your life, you know.
Well, on the one hand, that's true, but on the other hand, inflammation is part of the normal healing process, and that's what your body is trying to do, is heal something. Now, it's inappropriate if there's nothing there to heal and it's still getting inflamed, but it can be appropriate. So assuming
you... As far as what I eat, I eat better than anybody I know. I mean, I eat only organic food because I don't get any chemicals. You know, those are issues for other people, too, you know, and they cause a lot of inflammation, you know. And so everything is like, you know, no BPAs. I mean, I'm like on top of everything. I know where all the landmines are, you know.
Well, that's to be commended. Let me ask you, is this something that bothers you more in these cool weather months than it does in the summer?
Well, I don't know. Years ago, I had that problem with the bending, and I started taking a lot of fish oils, and then it went away, you know. So, because I know, you know, you need EPA, DPA, and DHA in your diet, you know, and I started to add those back in. Because, you know, if you're not getting the things your body needs, then, you know, it's trying to tell you something. I know what you're saying. So I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what I might be missing, something I could
do. You know, it's kind of easy with a blood test to see what your vitamin D status is, but vitamin D is one of those things that's among its many functions, it suppresses inflammation. And if this tends to be worse for you now than it was 6 months ago, especially if it has repeated that cycle, then it could be that that's just enough of a difference in your vitamin D levels that if you took some an additional vitamin D supplement to keep your vitamin D from getting too low in these low light, cool weather months, then you might not have that problem at all.
Okay, so I have some, I just started taking vitamin D again, and I have them in 1,000 milligrams, and I've been taking about 5,000. Could I boost it up to 10,000? I think I could take up to 100,000 sometimes.
Sure. Most of the time when I recommend people take vitamin D, the starting dose would be 5,000. If they're very low, I have them start at 10,000. In my 30 years of treating patients, I've never seen anybody get toxic on 10,000 units a day. So
right. Well,
I think
know people go to a doctor or something, you're low, they give you 50,000. So
that's right. There is a prescription form that's 50,000. You're supposed to take that once a week, but I know that when people get something like the flu, if they take that 50,000 for like 3 or 4 days in a row, that flu will be gone.
Yeah, I haven't had the flu since 73, and I don't believe the flu shots because I know it's them, and it's very scary.
Well, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, and it's a whole lot easier to keep from getting the flu than it is to worry about taking vaccines.
You know, that's, sure. I mean, everything starts in the gut, right? That's where it all starts.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. So if you keep your gut clean, and you got those, you know, the good bacteria eats up the bad bacteria, and you know, so that's why I haven't had the flu since 73. And people look at me like, and I haven't had a headache since for 50 years. So, you know.
Well, Joanne, you're on top of it.
I'm trying.
Well, good luck to you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling, and keep trying because you're the beneficiary of that.
I know, and Dr. Patella tells me I age backwards. She says, you get younger instead of getting older. It's very unusual. I never see anybody like you.
So. You need to publish your secret. All right.
Thank you, Joanne.
I don't look old either.
Well, good.
All right. Thank you very much. I'm sure that there's a portrait in her room somewhere that's aging, however.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. And I also, I just, you know, personally just want to say for guys who grew up like me thinking that caffeine, nicotine, alcohol, and cholesterol actually comprise the four major food groups, I have nothing but respect for people who can eat well. So,
well, you know, I can bring this a little bit closer to home, to my own family. My parents were very conscious about what they were eating. My mother died about a year and a half ago, and I'm not sure that I could say that anything she did as far as what she ate or how she lived, exercised, made her live one day longer.
Mm-hmm.
But it sure made how she lived a whole lot better, because when she did die, there was no distress, no pain.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't even aware that she was dying. In fact, she was putting her socks on, getting ready to go to the gym, and just said, "I feel dizzy," and then she was dead.
Mm.
So up until that minute, she referred to herself as a nursing home reject. Yeah. So gotcha. She's very active, very healthy, in her mid-80s. So
right.
It makes a huge difference how you get to live. My personal physician had a sign in his office that said, "Take control of the life your body leads before your body takes control of the life you lead."
Ooh, that's deep. That is deep. Okay, just a couple of things here while we have some minutes together. Is there food that can make, we touched on this, you know, there are foods that help you with, say, healthy and things like that, as we just learned. Are there foods that can be deleterious to your condition?
Certainly. The top of that list is sugar. Sugar is like throwing gasoline on a fire when you've got arthritis. In fact, a lot of times I see people that come with horrible arthritis. We get them off their soft drinks, off their all the added sugar things, getting them eating a decent diet, probably not even what Joanne was describing.
Yeah, you don't have to be that hardcore to eat.
And all of a sudden their arthritis, when I say all of a sudden, within 6 months or so, their arthritis doesn't even bother them anymore.
See? All right. Lots of great advice can be had at painlessliving.com. And if you have any residual questions you'd like answered, you can go use the contact form there and get your question directly into Dr. Cassaro and get a response back. During the week, you can always keep in touch on Facebook. The address is
Painless Living Radio Show.
And some great tweets come out of your Twitter account at
Painless Living.
All right. That's the shameless self-promotion part, painlesslivingshow.com. So back again next week, won't you be?
I'm your host, Dr. Michael Cassaro.
And I'm co-host John Ashton. You have a painless week. We'll talk to you later.